Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we're back this morning teaching again on our subject, which deals with the laws that govern prayer. We've been teaching, last week we were teaching on the prayer of faith, talking specifically about that. I've talked on this subject many times because, you know, faith is used in many areas. We're focusing specifically on the areas of faith dealing with praying. And I think it's one of the things we need to get an idea about, because when we think about praying, lots of times we think specifically in the area of, you know, you're stopping, you're asking God and talking to God. But really, you know, is our areas of our confession in prayer. If I would say, like, concerning, say, like with Wanda and I never really did pray per se about her health. We didn't pray about her going in. We said things. And we agreed and used the principle of agreement we used in what we said we believed. And didn't necessarily, but in the same sense, it's prayer. Our confession is made to God, and we're believing we receive what we said. So a lot of people think we pray, you got to just stop, you know, and do something. Lots of times, I do more of saying than I do of when people think about praying and things that I desire or that I want. I say what I desire or what I want. I say it. I just talk it out. I just speak it out. That's the desire of my heart. And so that's what the desire that's in me, and that's, I just speak it out, that I will have that. Because Mark 11:23 does tell us we'll have what we say, if we believe it in our heart and don't doubt. And so a lot of times we need in prayer, like when some people say, well, did you pray about this or pray about that? And what they're thinking in their mind is, you know, maybe you got down your knees, or you just stopped and, you know, you folded your hands and you did, you know, whatever. And there's nothing about doing that. I mean, sure, I've done things. I mean, I don't do much of any folding hands or anything. I don't think you have to do that. I mean, that's a sign, you know, that the church has, and there's people think that you have to do that when you pray. But that don't get any prayers answered. It's nice if you want to do it, have at it, enjoy it. But it has nothing to do with answered prayer. You know, and getting on your knees don't have anything to do with answered prayer. Well, standing up don't have anything. I don't care. It isn't about those things. Sometimes I just do on the outside what's on the inside. Sometimes I just humble myself before God and I get down on my knees as a sign of my humility to Him. And I can do that. But I can show all the humility I want, but if I don't act in faith, it didn't do me any good. You understand what I mean? So our actions, just going through the actions, religion runs us through a lot of actions of what prayer is or what it's not. And really, when you're confessing and saying things and you're just agreeing with God's word on something, it's really, in a sense, that's prayer too. See, we think about prayer, you know, from the standpoint of our action. We can declare things. And so that's what we did there, is declaring things. Now, we talked about the laws that govern the prayer of faith last week. And I just want to, we talked about that the prayer of faith is about your desire, or the things that you want. It's the things that you want. Now, when I use the word that you want, I want to clarify it, because in that, many people want things but are never going to get them because they never operate in the areas of faith. Wanting something and be able to believe it in your heart, you receive it, are two different things. Most of the time, people will come to you and ask you to pray for them. They're really asking you to pray for what they want, not because they can believe for it. Lots of times people ask for prayer is because they're trying to get somebody else to get them what they don't believe they can get. Many of these people use prayer chains for that. They ask people to pray for them, you know. I've had over the years people just, and say this to me, Christians, well, if we could just get enough of people praying. Well, I'd say, well, let's just forget it. Ain't no bother praying at all about it, because you think it's in numbers. I ain't got a thing to do with it. See, they figure if you get enough people, there's going to be at least some in there that could believe God and get this thing to work. Somebody's going to make it. They know, and really, a lot of people are just shotgun prayers. That's all they are. They're just shotgun prayers, you know. They put, and they use real little shot too, you know. So there's a lot of shot in there, you know. It's stuff that wouldn't kill a thing. But don't scare the devil off at all. You know, he don't care. It ain't going to hurt him. And they have this idea about prayer. Now, we're talking about this. So you ask for what you ask. Now, I used the terms last week about about that word ask and use it is the fact that it can be used the word ask, but it also means to desire or require. But also one of the definition is to crave. And Randall Greer says this all the time in his teaching on faith. When he teaches on faith and Mark 11:24, dealing the areas of prayer and things, and also in the areas of confession with 23 and 24, he makes this statement, and I believe he's accurate on it. When we deal the areas of crave, one of the reasons that we have people don't get prayers answered is because they talk about faith, but they operate in a very weak faith. And they don't really crave. They can live without it. Prayer don't get answered, they can live without it. And Randall Greer says this, if you can live without it and you have that attitude, you could live without it, you probably won't get your prayer answered. You must crave the thing that you want, what you're asking for. You could not believe you received something and really do it in your heart if you really don't, if it don't happen, I'm taking a shot at it. And this is what many people do in prayer. They're willing to live without it. See, you got to get over, there's times that I have just got down desperate with God. There's times I've talked to God and said, I ain't going no further. I ain't going to do anything else till this thing gets answered. Till this thing is done, I ain't moving any further. It's amazing. I ain't being ugly to God. I'm just making my stand. You know how happy he gets when somebody makes a stand. You know, Brother Hagin used to tell us all the time, he used to say, God expects Christians to have a backbone like a crowbar. And he said, most of them have a backbone like a string. You know, they're just, weak around God. Man, God loves bold people. God loves bold people. Kenneth E. Hagin said this. He was asked one time the number one thing that he wanted in a Rhema graduate, the one when they graduate, what he wanted them to have. He said, the number one thing, I want them to have a spirit of boldness. Dear Lord, I got it, don't I? Hallelujah. I'll tell you what. It's amazing. When I was at Rhema, before I ever heard that Brother Hagin said that, before I ever heard it, God dealt with me about a spirit of boldness, being bold. And that'll get you going. I'll tell you, God loves boldness. And in your prayer life, it's amazing for yourself. You're going to be bold about prayer. God wants you. He wants you to come boldly into the throne of grace. He don't want you this thing here. Most people kneel because, they're actually going to crawl to God. That's why they're down on their knees. They're going to crawl in like they don't deserve it. They're going to crawl in like, he might whoop me when I get in there. You're the dog and he's just going to slap you and you're going to howl and run out. And you got to get that out of your mind, and you got to come in bold. You got to come into God in prayer like you walk in, like you, number one, you belong there. You have the right to ask him for what you're asking for. You have every right. And if he would say no to you, you could look him in the face and say, you lied in your word. Well, he ain't going to say that. He's not going to say that. See, we have to have that boldness. And that's where it comes down, that craving. God wants you to crave. There's number one, I've realized this over the years. Sometimes I've not asked for things in prayer because I was not ready to ask for it. Even though I wanted it, but I wasn't ready to ask for it because I didn't have a craving. I just knew inside. See, you got to know yourself on the inside. This is where most people, it's the mental praying all the time. It's always up in here. It's always out of this place. I want this, I want this, I want. But on the inside isn't there. You got to get the inside there. That's where it's going to work. It's going to work when the inside yells through your mouth and not your head. Your head can yell all day through your mouth and produce nothing. It's what's on the inside. Faith of the heart is on the inside. And when I know I'm ready on the inside, and what I do is I learned about this. If you want to crave something, you learn to feed on and eat it. There's number one, how many of you here like liver? Most people don't raise their hands. Do you know why you don't like liver? Because you never feed on it. You know what I thought? I used to like dollar. My mom make liver, I hate liver. One day I decided I was going to learn to like liver. And I'd sit and eat liver. And you know what? Didn't like it. It was terrible. I like liver today. You know why? Most eating is all required taste. It's all acquired. It's the same way spiritually. If you don't feed on it, it don't ever become a craving to you. It never becomes a craving. See, many people want stuff, but they don't feed on it. You put that thing first. See, that thing will become. It's just like I said, I'll get to the point where I'd say, Lord, I ain't going no further till this thing's settled. Till this thing is done, I'm not going any further. Well, that there's a sign of craving. I want that. You know, I remember with, like, say, Wanda, when she was, pregnant with our girls, and both times she would get cravings. And one of the things that the cravings would get stronger because they were on her mind all the time. She fed on it. And she craved it. And if you didn't want to go nuts, get it for her. That's what you do. Now, if any of you have been around, I find that most all women during those times, they get cravings for things. But what happened? It gets on their mind. They keep it on their mind, and they think about it all the time. You know? You can be talking about, you know, we need to go do this or that. I'm hungry for such and such. Well, it is. But you need to understand that principle. It's the same way spiritually. You have to develop a craving for things. You're going to have to develop that. You got to get that on the inside. Till when you go into the presence of God and you ask, you believe you receive it. Because you ain't going to have it any other way. You ain't going to have sometimes God says yes and sometimes he says no. I'll tell you what, I get so aggravated at that, I have to keep my hand from slapping people when I hear them say it. Why? It ain't because it makes it. I'll tell you what, because they're downgrading my God. And they call themselves Christians and they run God down all the time because of religiousness. Makes me mad. It's like, what do you say? You know, you could say Ed would lie, cheat, and steal. You may be right. It could happen. But it can happen with God. Amen. It can happen. You get it settled in you that the Word of God is true. And if it don't work, you're messed up. He's not. I learned that a long time ago. Ed gets messed up. But God never gets messed up. I don't ever question him about why didn't it work other than what did Ed do wrong? Where did I mess up? Where did I do? Where am I at in this thing? Because God don't mess up. His word is right all the time. Get settled in that fact. Don't move off of it. I don't care what anybody else preaches on the subject. You know, it don't matter. But people running God down. This ain't no day to have a God that may not answer. We're living in a church world where majority of Christians are living in that trash right now. Most of the spirit-filled Christians are living in that trash right now. They have this hit-and-miss God, this hit-and-miss Christianity. Man, I don't want it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Get yourself over a craving. You get that craving in you. Just like I said, you know, from a natural standpoint, a person gets a craving for something. You know, they got to go. You get a craving for this or that, and you just got to go get that. Or you got to do this or do that. You get that craving in you for that, where it becomes a thing that starts to dominate you, that this is what you have. I'll tell you, you're ready to whatever it is. If you do that on the inside of yourself, you're ready. You're ready now. I'm going to grab this thing, and I ain't going to let it alone. You know, my God, Wanda, you know, she would crave for something. She wasn't going to let it alone until she got that. That's what she was going to do. Why? Because she craved that. And see, you can tell that. There's a lot of people, you know, that they'll come around. Well, you know, when they talk to me, they'll say about praying, and they talk in such a weak voice. They talk in such weakness, you know. Well, leave God with me. And say, you just want to say, shake them and say, what's wrong with you? You know, because people are just so weak about, no, you're talking about talking to God. You don't go in front of God like you don't deserve it. How could you come boldly to the throne of grace and acting like that? That ain't bold. You come to God, you act like you belong there. Say, hey, God, man, I'll take the book sometimes. Sometimes I'll take the Bible, turn to Scripture. And I say, Lord, I read this here. This is your words. Most Christians don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. They say it, but they don't. I'm going to tell you what, that's God's words. I won't even let anybody argue with me about that. Well, man, said you can say anything you want. Go on and talk. That's God's Word. And I have never taken it and put it in his face and haven't gotten what that Scripture says. It works. It works. But see, you go at it, and we've all done it. We go at times, you know, sort of weak-willed about the thing. We ain't really hot on it. We're just sort of asking, Lord, change that. Lord, we want this. Or, Lord, it'd be nice to have that. Lord God, I'm believing you. Ooh, yeah. Okay. Look, we've all been there. But we need to come to this place that we stand as building ourselves. I didn't learn this principle myself. I learned it from Kenneth Hagin. He talked about this. He would pray for things. He wouldn't just, he'd say, we're too quick to pray. We're too quick to just say what we want. Most people do. Most of the time, people that are something arises and they want prayer, they're just quick. This is what I want. But that's not what's in them. This is what I want. You know, I'm sick and I want to get well. That's nice. You want to get well, but that don't mean you can get healing. You have to have that on the inside of you. You got to be able to boldly take a hold of it, because your body's going to be yelling the opposite to you. And if the body's yelling at you is more predominant than what's on the inside, you're going to keep what's on the outside. You're going to keep it. You got to have it on the inside of you, that what you got on the inside and that yelling on the outside, you don't have to be watching the outside all the time. But you got to watch and dominate and let the outside move you all the time. You're going to keep it. Why? Because you're bold toward it. Whatever you're bold toward is what you're going to have. Get bold to what's on the inside of you. Outside of you says, no, you ain't got it. You get says, I don't care, body, shut up in the name of Jesus. You don't know what you're talking about. I got it. It's mine. Oh, yeah, but your leg still hurts. I don't care, my leg still hurts. I got it. I know that healing's mine. I don't care what that says. You got to get bold. You got to talk to your stupid body, because your body's dumb as a stick. I'm just going to tell you, most of you spend too much time on your body focusing on it. That's why your body dominates you. Your body will dominate you if you let it. You got to learn to talk to your body. I'm going to tell you, this body of mine is a stupid thing. It is. This is what the Bible says, it's dead in sin. Does that sound like something you want to be proud of? We need to look at this body. You know, I found out the hardest time I had about keeping my body is when I get my body in the forefront. We live in a society today that the body's in the forefront. All the commercials, all the stuff is geared towards you, your body. Christian churches focus 90% on the body and almost maybe 5%, they get spirit. Anything in between is just junk thrown out there. And it's focused on the body. You need to learn. I had to learn. One of the things that I had to learn dealing in areas of healing, I had to learn the fact of I couldn't focus on my body. Because my body kept counterinjecting everything the scripture said. So I couldn't put my body to the forefront. I had to speak to my body, tell it what it was going to do. My body wanted to go lay down and quit. You know, you guys heard the story I told you the first time the Lord taught me on that thing. I'm going to call off work sick. The Lord said, you call off work sick, you're going to stay in the bed all day sick. I thought, well, that's ugly. I believe 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes I was healed. He said, why don't you get up and act like it's true? There are people, they're just too sick to go to church. But I'll tell you, they'll run to every doctor. They'll do the natural constantly, and I don't care if the doctor's 200 miles away and they got to drive there, they'll drive it. But I'm too sick to go to church because they don't believe in healing. And they'll tell you, pray for me. Don't waste your time. Pray for them that they wake up. Because if they don't wake up, they ain't getting healed. See, we need to understand these things. See, people, we got all this stuff jumbled up in religion and it gets in and people think they're doing spiritual things or not. That's why you got to get bold about these things. You got to go talk to your body. James said, if you can control your tongue, you control your whole body. I just want to tell you that most people, they don't have a controlled tongue and they're praying about healing and everything else and they're wasting their time. It's because their tongue's out of control on other things. Their actions are out of control. They act more sick than healed. They try to. Now, if their body tells them they can't do something, they go, amen, I can't do that. Doctor said you're going to be sick for 6 weeks. Man, they join right in. Well, the doctor said, my God, the doctor said, dear Lord, well, my words, I can't eat this, I can't eat that, we can't do this, we can't do that. Well, the doctor said, well, I can't eat this and I can't eat that. Well, you got problems. And you got a faith problem. You know what the Bible says? If you can't, the guy can't eat, it's weak in faith. It's the scriptures. See, people get dominated. Don't even know it. We've had a weak faith taught in the Christian church. The Bible teaches a strong faith. And I find out, I got things to measure up to if I want to go into the strong faith area. I don't know about you. Sometimes my body don't like to go there. That's the way it is. You got to get a craving in you, but there's one thing, you will succeed if you get a craving inside of you. You'll succeed. Get a craving in you. What do you want? You know, you take in life, people do it all, they get a craving for what they want. There's many people say, well, I'd like to do this in life, or I'd like to do that in life. You know what? They never get a craving to do it. I have done nothing in my life that I haven't got a craving to do. I never achieve it. You never achieve anything you don't have a craving to do. Because if you don't get a craving, you know what? The hardship will come along the way, you'll quit. Let's face it. Folks, we all live in the same camp. I mean, it ain't living in someplace else. There's things that I said, boy, I'd like, but I never really got a craving to head in that direction, but the things I got in a direction for. You know, it's just like when I was called to ministry, I know people, they're just as much called to ministry that I was when I went in, and they never entered the ministry, and they had never been to ministry, and never will be in the ministry, because they never developed a craving. I developed a craving. I refused to do anything else than focus toward the ministry. I would never take a job that would lead me away from being able to focus over the areas of ministry. I was offered jobs. I was offered things to do that could make money. I turned down because it would get in the way of me heading toward what I was craving. See, most people don't. Most people will follow the money. Oh, this is a blessing from God. God's trying to bless Ed. God wasn't trying to bless Ed. Ed was heading toward the ministry. That was the call of God in my life. That job wasn't. See, you got to get a craving in you of what you want, and then you head and you don't let things take you out of that way. You know, I've talked to you guys about the guy from Australia, the guy that's, you know, super rich, who talked about the fact of, is that he said he would move in a direction. He would, something would be in his heart to start a certain business. Everybody around him telling me, don't do that. This business you want to start will never work. He said, I made money at everything I ever did, because he said, I never followed money. I followed what was in my heart to do. He'd get a craving in his heart and followed it and made money on all of it. And all those people, he got richer than all those people told him it wouldn't work. They told him it wouldn't work. He had a craving in his heart. He got a craving. There was something he wanted, and he didn't listen to what anybody else said to it. Well, see, it didn't want, somebody couldn't come along and offer him something that looked better. He wouldn't take that. Somebody said, look, I'll give you more money if you do this. He wouldn't take it. He'd say, no, I'm going to do this. He said, I never followed money, but money's always followed me. And it's followed by the hundreds of millions. It has followed him. That's pretty good, isn't it? It works. It's wise because he follows this principle. When he gets in him and he builds that thing in him and he heads in that direction and he's not listening to everything else around him, what other people are saying to do, and he follows out what's in his heart. You know, people need to learn, you need to learn to do this. What people have is a fear that something's not going to work. They have a fear that they're going to miss it. We have a fear of what other people might say if we don't make it. We haven't even failed yet, and we're all ready to quit because somebody might make fun of us. Somebody might, if we step out and it don't work out, somebody might say something. You have to lose that. Fear will always hold you back. You'll never be bold if fear dominates you and what other people might think. You can't have that. Can't have that. No matter what somebody else thinks. Man, I could line more people up, probably think I'm an idiot than think I'm smart. I don't really care. That doesn't bother me. Used to bother me. You'd always, you know, because I'll tell you, you're going to be nothing but a people pleaser. What's everybody else going to like? You know, God took that out of me over the things when I first started out as a Christian. Because I used to think about, well, what's Wanda going to say? Lord, one time spoke me to do a certain thing. And I said, well, Lord, if I head in that direction, Wanda may not go along that. And the Lord just real boldly spoke to me. He said, I ask you to do it. He said, are you not going to do it because she wouldn't want you to? He said, if I told you to do it, you better do it. See, I don't think many Christians ever hear from God. They always hear this little sweet little Jesus walking around with a lamb who never says nothing nasty to anybody, never corrects anyone. I don't know that guy. He don't let me alone like that. But I'll tell you what, he gets me where I need to go. He gets me where I need to go. And I'll tell you what, I don't think I'm the only guy that needs push sometimes. Most people I meet need pushed more than what they are being pushed. You know, thank God he'll push me around. But he never pushes me around to hurt me. It's because I tell him I want something, he tries to get me into it to give it to me. He's doing his best at it. Sometimes he got to yell at me to get me right so he can give it to me. Hallelujah. It ain't so he don't want to. He's trying to get me in position. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I thank God. Boy, he has been patient. Dear Lord, been patient. My words, I'd have quit on me a long, long time ago. But he never quit. Hallelujah. When you get that craving in you, And you require, it says you require, I like that word require. It also means this is what I require, or this is what I got to have. This is what I require. See, I learned in that area of finances. I wasn't going to teach this today, but it's just God's going. Hallelujah, there's an anointing. But, as I learned over in this area, dealing with in the areas of finances, you get over in there, what you require. And, the Lord sometimes would tell me to do certain thing or do something or maybe travel, do something like that or go something that require money's involved in it. And I've always told the Lord, this is what I need to go. See, now I don't do it like other people normally do it. I don't sit down and look at my bank account to see if I have enough to do it. I look at the Lord and said, Lord, you said I was supposed to do this. So you're going to have to supply the money for it. This is what I require. See, most people are always look to see what they have if they can do the will of God. If God don't give me the money, I don't have to do it. That's his problem. What he requires of me to do, I can require of him what it takes to do it. If he doesn't give the require what is required, I don't have to do what he requires. See, most people, they think God's, some kind of just big bully up in heaven with, that there rod with a lightning bolt on the top of it that sends it out, everyone. And he just tells you to do stuff and he don't have to carry his end. I have never worked for a company that said to me, we need some new something here or some new equipment. We're expecting you to buy it for us. And you take your check, and we're going to take your check, and we're going to buy the equipment. And I'd say, number one, you're going to be in a bad lawsuit, and I ain't ever going to work for you again. You wouldn't work. But people go over to God, and they act like a bunch of idiots. Now, I'm just talking plain. They act like a bunch of idiots. They would never put up with that in anything in life. When it comes to God, whatever the Lord wants. Whatever the Lord wants. If God cannot supply, then I don't have to do it. I don't have to do it. He don't work that way. What do you require? What do you want? What do you want to do the job? Some people don't never ask for enough. They're out there trying to do the job, and they're getting taken a little bit from God, but they aren't asking for what they need to do it. I've been all when I came here, the Lord said, start a church here in Lebanon. I didn't want to start no church in no Lebanon. I didn't even want to come and live in Lebanon. I didn't want to be here. I can't say I'm nuts about living here now, but I'm in obedience and I stay here in obedience. God never asked me to really just enjoy it and love Lebanon. He never asked me to. I don't know if he does. I know God loves the people, but I don't know if he loves Lebanon in general. I don't know. But God has a plan here. But the whole thing of it is, God sent me here. But one thing is I know he sent me here. I said, Lord, this is the place of my milk and honey. You're going to have to take care of me here. If I come here, you don't supply the money, I can always leave. See, most people, they don't go to God bold. They don't expect. I just talk to God plain. God, you're going to have to supply when you're here. He has done nothing but do that. He has always done it. He's always supplied for me to live here. He's always taken care of things. Money has never been the top of agenda in anything. It does not. That's over. He has to do those things. See, and we have to learn these things about God. We got to get this picture that's been put in us over the years about God, how he functions and how he works. I'm not talking to God being a bully, like trying to force him. This is just the way he operates. You go to the boss, say, look, we need this to do the job. Yes. He goes, okay, you got it. This is yours. This is what you need. You need the money to go here. You need vehicles. You need to have this stuff. You got to have it. I learned from Kenneth Hagin, because Kenneth Hagin, he didn't understand about faith and money. And this guy was out there trying to do the will of God on his own. And man, it went so bad. He had a junkie's car. He was riding buses to go where he had to preach. He didn't understand this stuff till he found out how faith worked. And God wanted him to have good stuff. And God wanted him to be able to have a good car to drive. And God wanted it. That was a need. You need that. If you're going to work, you don't need a car that don't start half the time. You're going to work, you want a car that works all the time. And you don't want to have the car that you get in every day and you have to believe God it's going to start. You got to believe God it ain't going to quit on the way to work. That, you don't want to go there. Thank God we might have learned through some of them things, but I don't want to live there. That ain't the place to live. Most Christians live their whole life in that kind of a place. where, you know, they're always there's things in their life that they're always trying to get fixed all the time. And they never get, because they don't say, well, God will supply all your needs. And they say, well, you know, God, his view of your need isn't like yours. Where on earth in Scripture does it say that? Would you give me the chapter and verse on that stupid statement? On money, God's desire for you is that you have enough to give to every good work, and there ain't one of us in this place has arrived there yet, so your needs ain't being met. And anybody tells you that other stupid stuff, don't you believe a thing about it. They're just religious. God wants you to have. It's like the Lord told Randall Greer. He's asking, what kind of plane is he? The Lord said, what kind of plane do you need? I don't fly planes. God don't drive cars. You need a car. You drive the car you want. But you get it inside of yourself, building a craving. You see, I'm taking time because I'm on a eventually, not yet. I'm not ready to take a hold of it yet. But I'm building a craving in me for a new vehicle. And I will have it. I'm building a craving in me for a new vehicle. I'm building it. See, everybody else running out of time. Well, I'm going to get a car, and they'll talk about a car. No, I'm building crazy, because when I release it out of here, it's mine, I'll have it. And money ain't an option. I don't think on the place of money. I think of what I need and what I like, you know. What I want, that's what I'm going after. See, I don't think about that. It's the vehicle. See, if you think money, you're going to limit yourself. You think dollars and cents, you'll limit yourself. You know, you talk about people go buy a house. The average house today costs $250,000. It's built today. The average house, $250,000. It's built today. Now think about it. You ask most people about $250,000, they choke. But yet they'll talk about buying a house. So you've got to get money out of your mind. Money ain't nothing but a tool. It's nothing to set a goal on. The goal is what the tool can do, isn't it? I don't buy a hammer and think about all the time about, oh, that hammer, that great, how much that cost, boy, the money this thing cost. You get over there, I don't want to hit nothing with it. That was an expensive hammer. We better put it down over here. That's the way people are with their stuff. Oh, afraid they can't get any more of it, so we got to protect it. I lived in a home like that. Anything my mama had good never got used. It never got, she came out of it. My mama went through the Depression and come out of the Depression and lived like the Depression never stopped. Yes. See, we have the opposite people today. They've grown in homes and that stuff. Their parents took care of everything and never made them responsible. And now in life, they're living out here like they're still living with mom and dad and they're in debts up to their ears. They can't take care of stuff. They can't do things, you know. But you have to get that out of you. Is my mom really, that operation out of her was the fear of not having. So anything that was good, you didn't use it. Yes. She had in the kitchen in the house they lived in Pamir. I mean, it's funny because they had all the money they needed. It was, God blessed them, you know. Now, my dad wasn't that way. He didn't think that way, but my mom did. And my mom, I remember the kitchen had a really lot of cabinets and run the whole wall down the one side, these long row of cabinets down the side. And in those cabinets, she had her regular stuff in there, but probably half of it was filled with store containers food came in. And it's filled with them. I mean, every time you bought food in a container, you got, hey, now, there's nothing wrong. I keep a few containers around because, you know, listen, Lord, come over to eat. I send food home with them, and we do that. Something to say, you take the container, then you can chuck it. I can pass it on, and you can just don't have to return a container. And that works good for that. But my mom, that wasn't what it was. Because I don't know her specifically sending food home. But anyhow, she had that thing filled. And then another thing, see, she had all this nice Tupperware that was as nice as the day it was brought because it was never used. Because you didn't use the good stuff, you used the old. So all this Tupperware sat there never used. And she's saving those containers. And I'm going to tell you what. When we moved her out of her house, I mean, there were thousands of containers. Thousands of containers out there. And I'll tell you what, but you got to keep me. You just don't ever know. You just don't ever know. But see, this is the whole thing. See, I lived with that in my life. I saw that thing. I saw my mom keeping stuff. Wouldn't throw any. Well, you might need that someday. She'd have drawers full of things and drawers full of stuff. We might need that sometime. Yes, I hear landfill calling now. I think they have a need. I think they have a need right now. It's called landfill. Let's go there. Glory to God. We'll all be blessed. And I might come to your house. Watch it. I am one, if you don't use it, you get rid of it. Give it, if it's good, give it to somebody. Do something. But if you hoard it, you're going to limit yourself. That thinking will limit you. What happens? It's a fear you're not going to be able to replace, or you won't be able to. It's a fear that runs in the background. Folks, I had it. I had it. And loads of people live with it. You know, it's one thing to be a collector. Most people ain't collectors. They're hoarders. I was a hoarder. My God, I hoarded old screws and nails and threw everything in and I'll take something apart and throw it. Now, sometimes I find things that I do, but they do have hardware stores that got stuff. And I can run down there and get a good one. And you know what? I can believe God and get the money. See, I was a cheapskate too. You know, well, I don't want to spend the money. I don't want to spend the money on that. Well, I'd have to spend some money. And then I'm talking about, you believe God for anything. Didn't believe God for anything. Dear Lord, I worried about screws. Now I get screws and I have extra with new ones. Forget where I put them at and have to go buy new ones and then find them later. But I don't care. Praise God. I got the money to do it. Dear Lord, those days when I didn't. See, people worry about that. Oh my God. What'd you do with the other one? I don't care. We'll just get one we need. You can't live in fear of things. You've got to get over this fear. You can't have boldness. You can't have boldness when those things are eating in the back of your mind, when those little things are dominating. See, that's one thing. I grew up with that. You know, my mom was a world champion warrior. You know, you told her, you know, she had trophies for that. I tell you, she went to the Warriors Olympic, cleaned up. God, she cleaned up. I don't think anybody else got a medal or a trophy. She had them all. But that's, you know, it's a thing that never got out of her to the day that she died. She hoarded things. I was always thinking that there wasn't going to be enough. I'm so glad she's in heaven. She's up there having a ball. Found out she didn't have to worry about none of that stuff no more. Having a great time. And that's all gone. But living in this earth, it makes difficulties. And it causes problems. And see, like, these are areas that people don't like to touch into and to say into people's lives. But we need to understand. See, I had to overcome in these areas. I had problems in these areas and that stuff. You know, get over asking God. Oh, I believe God for money. But in the back of my mind is running in there. And this thing keeps that, and it keeps hindering at my faith. It keeps talking to me about, you know, whether you're going to have enough or whether you got, well, maybe I keep that, I can't do this. Because it starts to limit you in how you think. It doesn't mean you can't keep anything. I'm not saying that. But I'll tell you what, it sure has to do with why you keep things. Why you do it. Why you're doing it. The devil's getting a hold of a lot of people. I mean, just think when they have shows on TV today about hoarders. Hoarders, I tell you, 20 years ago, there wasn't many hoarders around. Today, man, our nation is filled with people who live that way. You can go into anybody's community, and I don't care if it's rich or poor, and there's people doing it. Houses filled with stuff. Hoarders. People wealthy, got money, and they're still hoarding like they ain't going to have nothing. It's amazing. And I tell you what, it's demonic and it's operated by fear. Yeah. It's operated. And I'm talking to us as Christians. Why? Because you don't want those areas to be able to eat at you and eat at your faith. You don't want to let that stuff get into your inner man. Because if it does, it's always going to limit you. Right. Is that fear? The fear, it's one of the things the Lord dealt with me. The fear over the dealing ears of hearing. Well, if fear, if I act like I believe what the Word says is true, what if it don't work? Oh my. See, that's in your mind right away. That's what people right get over there. And then you'll have 97 Christians who'll tell you, now you gotta use wisdom. I've never had a spiritual person ever tell me that. It's always the people who would never walk by faith. And they'll be the ones that'll be there to say, you got to use wisdom. And say, yeah, I'm going to use the one you used all your life, and we ain't going nowhere. Ain't nothing going to be happening or taking place. You know? Got to use wisdom. What they mean is, you need to do something worldly. You need to do it just like the world does. Don't trust God. He can't make it. He's going to back out on you. I've never had one time that somebody hasn't told me that I needed to use wisdom, trying to caution me something, that thing did not come to pass for me when I stood in faith. It always came to pass for me. Always does. But the devil will send somebody along that you like and know, try to discourage you from doing where you're walking in faith. He won't send a stranger. He'll send somebody you know. You know, there's a lot of people out here, I don't know what their motive is, but they're scared to see people get ahead. And people many times have them as good friends. And what they want you to do is to stay like they are. They don't want you to get beyond where they're at. Man, I want you to go as far as you can, man. Go out there and get it, Tiger. Whatever you can walk in with God, I want you to have it. Hallelujah. You know, I ain't going to stop. I learned a good thing. Pastor Hagin said a really good thing one time. He talked about faith. He said if a person comes up to him and tells him that God spoke to them about a certain thing and moving in a certain direction, he said, other than if it'd be just a done scriptural thing, but he said, I don't stand in the way of people and try to discourage them. He said, if God talked to them and told them to move in that direction, I ain't got no business trying to stop them. Too many Christians are always trying to stop people and don't know any different. You know, unless the Lord shows you they shouldn't be doing it, you shouldn't be saying a thing just because you don't like it. You hinder people's faith. You know, just like when I always tell you guys, when I left at Reese's, you know, how many people tried to discourage me, Christians tried to discourage me from leaving Reese's. My God, they probably wanted to leave as bad as anybody, but they wouldn't or couldn't leave because, some people are supposed to stay there, but you know, some people, they want to keep everybody where they are, where their place is, where they're at. That's what their idea is, just to hold everyone. You can't do that. You got to follow what's in your heart. God told you to do something. We're going to find out if you're in faith and you so-called believe in faith and it don't work. Well, then we can question it. But dear Lord, I ain't going to try to keep somebody from going somewhere. And I ain't concerned if somebody missed it. Dear Lord, I have on numbers of occasions. You know, we ain't trying to miss it. But I tell you, I got to admit some things. I learned some good lessons through my stupidity. It ain't the way God wanted to teach me, but I learned some good things. I don't mind falling once in a while. If you don't like falling, stay out of the game. I'm going to say, don't play football if you don't like getting knocked over. A lot of Christians ain't in the game. They don't like the game. They don't like this Christian game because it is a thing that people don't like. Sometimes you get knocked around. Sometimes you get down. You get back up and get in the game. Hallelujah. You know, my faith in over the years has gotten knocked around some. That stuff. But I'll tell you what, I've learned to stand up. And I'll tell you what, I stand a lot more now than I used to. Hallelujah. I've gotten further because of doing it. I have no fear of missing it. Because you know what? I'm a human being. Don't get surprised. You will. And now the only way you're going to, you know, some people think, well, if I don't do anything, I won't miss it. You've already missed it. And you're down and you will stay down as long as you think like that. You will never get up. Don't lose the fear. Don't worry what people say and people get upset because you walked in a direction and missed it. Say, my God, they're liars and won't tell you how many times they did. Dear Lord, my God, if we compared stories, I'd probably beat you all. You know, you're out here to walk by faith, and I'm going to tell you, if you're going to use your faith often and you're going to go after things with it, you have times that you have little trip-ups along the way and things where you mess up and you got to backtrack and go stand again, get yourself up and go at it again. I've done that many times where, you know, starting off, man, I'll tell you what, I had to back up and start off 27 times, but I finally got up the place I stood. Hallelujah. I don't care about it if you fall. My words. If I stay at it, I'll end up where I want to be. You'll do that if you get a craving in you. If you don't have a craving, you'll quit. You'll fall down and say, well, I don't know. Maybe God didn't want me to. Well, you'll make a good excuse, blame it on everybody but you. Say, no, I'm going after this thing. If it don't work, Ed's got a problem. If it don't work, Ed's got a problem. But this is, I'm guaranteed. If I got a problem, this I know. If I yield to God, he'll show me where my problem is, and we'll get this thing on the road. Guaranteed. I have never had God where ever I messed up. I've never had where my faith messed up where God said, oh, you idiot, too bad. You ain't ever going to have that. He's always shown me, he's always revealed to me things where I've missed it. Sometimes through strength, sometimes I've had already in an area sort of fumbling around in, turn on the car radio, right in the middle of a sermon, some guy's preaching and he says one statement and it's like, my God, that's what I needed to hear. Oh, my God. It's like, well, that's where I missed it. I didn't even have to hear the whole sermon. I didn't even have to hear, 10 minutes of it. One thing was said, and I got an answer from heaven, where what I need to do to correct the thing. Praise God. God can get to you. He can get to you if you let him. If you quit, there's no reason for him to get to you. He ain't going to talk to you about what you stopped on. Ain't no point. So you fall down, just get up. Hallelujah. Clean your knees off. Hallelujah. If you need to put on a clean pair of pants, put them on and just go out after it again. Hallelujah. Just learn to be that. Build a craving inside of you. All you have to do is that thing in us, and our really is what this whole thing amounts to, is coming to the place where we believe we receive it. When you come to the place you believe you receive it, that's what God wants. He wants to build that craving inside of you where you arrive at that spot where I believe I got it. This thing belongs to me. Now you'll always have it. You'll always have your mind will say, well, it don't seem like it. And it comes to healing. Just understand about that. Your body's going to talk to you and tell you you don't have it. See, that when people, well, I believe I receive it, but why am I still hurting? Because you didn't shut up yet. You ain't talking like you received it. You keep talking like you ain't received it. Don't be surprised that it's dominating you. You are helping it by your voice. Say, praise God. If I have a pain, I don't have to run around and tell everybody I got a pain. I just, what I learned to do is say, thank God I received my healing. You know, whenever I pray and I breathe, I receive, I always stop and I just was, Lord, I just spend time, Lord, I am so glad. I'm so glad I received my healing. And I just want to, I'm so thankful you healed me. And man, I don't feel like I'm healed at all. And I thank you, Lord God, I am just so glad that you healed me. My God, Lord, you didn't heal me today. You did it 2,000 years ago. Wow. 2,000 years ago, you took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. What a God you are. And my body's saying, this man is insane. And then the devil jumps in and says, see, you've gone too far. Mm-hmm. And then he'll send somebody else along to come and talk to you. He'll send 27 Christian brothers and sisters to ask you how you feel. Y'all been there, haven't you? And you know what I would say? I can end the conversation immediately where they won't talk to me. I say, I believe I received my healing. And they don't know how to answer that. People who don't understand faith, what are they going to talk to that? I mean, they're going to... And they say, well, see, he's gone too far. We better leave him alone. They're probably going to come up and pick him up and haul him out to the hospital, give him an injection. He's going up. He's gotten a little flaky upstairs. All right. He'll be okay after a while. After he's done with those drugs, he'll be all right. Yeah. That's what they think. But it don't matter. I just end the conversation. I believe I received my healing. How do you feel? We ain't going to discuss that one. It doesn't matter if I feel good or I don't feel. That has nothing to do with whether I feel good. I'm in this earth and I'm staying here. I'm staying until Jesus is done with me, then I'm leaving. That's it. How I feel about anything in between there really don't amount to nothing. But it's one thing. If I amplify that thing, it's going to determine how well I live here. Yeah. Do you notice people who know nothing about faith have more serious medical problems than many other people, but yet live better lives? Because why? They don't amplify their problem. The other ones, everybody has to know, and he should have to tell everybody of every little hurt and pain and everything they got, and they got to express it, because I got to express I gotta tell people how I feel. You been there? You run into some of those? Yeah. Carry a gun. No, just you get those people. They just have to tell everybody about everything. I know a couple that I know. They spirit filled. Well, I don't know if they were one time, but not today. They're not spirit filled. They just go to church, and every time I run into them, and when I see, I just try to avoid them, for their own good, because they always talk about their problem. They don't say, and I think, dear Lord, the last thing they need is to tell another person. And my ears, you know, because, I mean, I talk to them about it. They just, on the same road, they don't listen to it. There's no point in the conversation. There's no point in the conversation. So when I see them, I avoid them. And for their own good. And just be mean, because why? They're going to amplify their problem again. And you know what? They're going to end up going home feeling bad. They're going to feel bad, feel lousy. Why? They've been just talking about how bad they feel. If they were as sick as they say, they'd be dead. Nobody could live and be as sick as they are. Dear God. They're so stupid. But you know what? They're sitting in a church. Don't preach a word. Called a spirit-filled church. Don't preach a word. Don't preach the truth. Don't tell them death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they, every day they get up and shoot themselves. Every day they get up and shoot themselves with their mouth. Every day. You got to shoot me today. Okay, let's talk it out. Oh, boy, I'll tell you, this is working great. And then they say, we're believing God. Yeah, for worse. It's working. Well, they do that. And understand, you know, we're talking about these things. And I'm be trying to be a little funny about it because it could make you cry. And it could. You see what people go through and what they do? Is we don't want to go there. We, you know, we're supposed to believe we receive something. Amplify what you believe you receive. You know, if you're going to a doctor, there's nothing matter with telling the doctor. You know, don't go to a doctor and say, well, you know, I've heard people, you know, say they went to the doctor, they wouldn't make a confession, there's anything wrong with them. I said, well, what on earth you went to the doctor? If you believed you were really healed, you believed that way and so strong at it, you wouldn't go went to the doctor. You went to the doctor because you think, you know, it wasn't working for you. So you go and tell the doctor. There's nothing matter telling the doctor what's wrong. You don't have to leave and go out in the waiting room then tell everybody out there what's wrong with you. And go home and just can't wait to tell everybody else and call the church so you can call the prayer chain instead. To call the prayer chain, you call everybody on the prayer chain so you can tell them how bad you feel and all that's wrong with you. Oh, people do that. People do that, but understand, you know, if you go to this, you're not going to tell the doctor. I mean, what's the point in going to him if you're going to tell him what happened? I mean, that's ignorance gone to seed. I mean, show up there and say, I believe I'm healed. Well, the doctor's looking at you and say, he is an idiot. Give him a shot. And I agree. Give him a shot. The man's a moron. Now, some people need trained in this. Going to the doctor. Don't tell the doctor anything that you don't want to be treated. Because there's one thing about anything you tell a doctor that you have a hurt or a pain, he's going to try to give you something for it. We used to have that with my mom. You'd take her to the doctor for a certain thing and you used to tell her, Mom, you don't open your mouth about anything else. Because if he does, he's going to want to treat something. He wants to treat it. You know, right? We got to give a pill for it. She don't need a pill for it. You know, well, I'm just feeling this and I'm feeling that. She had a doctor she went to like that, and every time she talked to him and told him how she's feeling about things, and that's why she's taking a bunch of medication. And when she finally got another doctor and they checked her out, she didn't need to be on one of the medications that he gave her. There's nothing wrong with it. Going in and talking about how she feels. You know, your feelings can sure lie to you. Mine do. My feelings lie to me all the time. My feelings lie. Even when it comes down to your body ailments, your feelings can lie to you about the severity of what your problem is. But people, if they think something seems to be severe and a pain or this or that, oh, then I got something really bad. Then I got something. And it may not be at all. Because sometimes something don't bother you too much. It could be serious. Your feelings will lie to you, folks. They'll lie to you about stuff. They won't tell you the truth. My body's pretty much a big liar. I tell you what, if I don't keep it lying and subject to the word, it is dead in sin. It'll go over and yield to dumb. That's where it goes. It goes right to dumb. So does yours. So don't look at me and say, boy, that guy's really straight. I mean, yours is the same way. It goes to dumb. It does. It'll give you a stupid answer. It doesn't know. You see, and like my mama, she'd sit down and read a medical book. You know, they'd get by these medical books, and she'd read them. And as soon as she'd have a pain, I got that. I got this over here. She'd always swear she had cancer, never had cancer. Today she didn't. She died at 89 years old. 89 years old, she died. She really had a good life of health. But you'd have thought she's sick all the time. She's known better many times than a really sick person because she thought she was sick. What is real in your mind is real. It's going to be real to you. You get a schizophrenic who sees things and hears things talk, that's real to him. I don't care if it's people say, well, that didn't really happen. Too bad. It's in his mind. It's real to him. So you can create little worlds in your own mind, and it can run and dominate your life. These are the things I'm talking about. We got to take control of those things. We take control of that by the inner man, by the inside, by getting the inside to get a hold and bring and subdue this outside. Learn to be able to judge which voice is talking. What voice is going on? Is this voice coming out of my mind that's been listening to my body? Or am I listening to what's in my spirit? Is that voice that's coming out of the inside of me? Which one am I listening to? Which one am I paying attention? The Word of God says this. So you got to have something to measure things to. The Word of God says this. My body's telling me this. The Word of God says this. Body saying that. You will come to the place, if you learn to develop in this, where your body will submit to the Word of God. My body used to fight me about walking by faith concerning healing. It don't anymore. It don't fight me on it. Why? It knows it works. Your body will understand. Look, the body, and I like to refer to this, is much like electricity. Electricity seeks the path of least resistance. Your flesh will always look for the easy way out. That's why people have a hard time walking by faith. Because the flesh is always trying to take the easy way out, and faith doesn't look like the easy way out. But once my body learned that this healing thing worked, and the more it would work, and he understood it, my body would get right in agreement with me. Well, believe God, let's get this over with. My body would move in that direction. Why? Because it saw it now as the path of least resistance. It's just like mentally, you go from a mental standpoint dealing with finances. Once I found out that the financial thing would work, I don't get the resistance in my mind I used to get about that. That resistance used to go on. Man, about, oh, going over here and believing God. That was for this, or financially, or that. Or, you know, we don't want to make too big of a confession. We don't want to believe for too big, you know. We don't want to go too far on this. And now, I don't have that problem. I look at it, I think, well, what we need to do, we can do. Whatever it is, we can just do that. But see, over time, it'll do that, and you won't get the resistance you got before. And this is one of the big hindrances that many people have in the areas of dealing with faith, is because people get over in these areas, and they don't realize that they're being dominated, a way of thinking. Lots of times it came by the way we were raised. We were taught under an atmosphere because everybody's different about it, you know. Because like the difference, like me raised like under a religious family, they're born again Christians, but their beliefs, you know, and that stuff might be different from somebody else on their way. But it ingrains you with a way of thinking. You know, we were ingrained with a way of thinking and our belief concerning finances, you know, that, you know, you didn't want to get too much money. You didn't want to have too much. No, no. But it's funny, those old people, they always had enough to take care of them good. But, you know, you get out there and anybody that had more money than them was into sin. Anybody that was a little bit more rich than them, then they were into sin. Now, they could buy a new car, but if anybody bought a new car that had more chrome than their car, then they were in sin. And, you know, it was just those things. That's what they did. That was the way of thinking. Now, you're born and raised under that thing, and I come into the kingdom, and you're always thinking like us. See, most people in America, the majority of people, and even Christians, don't like rich people. And then they have the stupid idea that they can believe God for money. You don't like rich people, you have a hard time getting any money out of God. I don't care if Donald Trump has trillions. I don't care if guys get so much. I don't care. That isn't the measure of anything. Why do we worry about that stuff? And then have the nerve to ask God for money. Well, if money's bad, what nerve do you have asking for it? You shouldn't even be asking for any. If it's a bad thing, you might end up with too much. What's the measure of too much? You know, we take America and stick it in the rest of the world. We're rich. There ain't a poor one around. Anybody on welfare in America is more rich than 90% of Mexico. The devil has hoodwinked the church. Got us into a demonic thinking. Thinking money is some big deal or something. A big deal about nothing. Like I said, it's just a tool. It's like a hammer. You know, I tried to hit a nail in with my hand. It don't work well. It's nice to have the hammer. You know, I get out of the store, they keep asking for this greenback stuff or some kind of other device that they can get their greenbacks on. They want something like that. And so money is very needful. And I don't like to spend all my money just to eat. Do you? I wouldn't mind feeding me and somebody else too. I wouldn't mind feeding me and do something for them. See, we got to go over and rich. And you know what? Poor people don't feed other people. They ain't got the money to do it. I had some Christians tell me one time, made the dumbest statement. I just told them flat out about it. They said, the poor people give more than the rich. I said, man, if I depended on the poor people for my living in the church, I would be starved out. I said, whoever told you anything so stupid? I said, the poor man has trouble taking care of himself. He can't be the big giver. If he would, the Bible says if he gives, it'd be given unto him, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And I told them they need to get saved and start thinking right. Full of crazy thinking that limits the ability to believe God. You don't want to get into that. Don't go that place. Limit your ability. You know, we're also worried about somebody who got money. Dear Lord, God ain't nervous. I mean, just think God in heaven. If money, if riches are a bad thing to have, God must be the devil. Think he's rich? Think he got stuff? My God. You think God goes and packs his own lunch or something? You know, my God, he got all the angels and stuff up in heaven doing stuff, streets of gold, dear Lord. I mean, God lacks nothing. It still lacks things. I want to be like God, where I come to the place where Paul said, wanting nothing. I still have desires. I still have things I want. Don't you? You're not weird. Religion's weird. It'll lead you to the place. See, it'll get that into your thinking. And what happens, it does, it'll limit your prayer life. It'll limit you and where you can go. That thinking gets in, it gets into your spirit, and you will always have in you. I want to read you a scripture in closing that is a good scripture. It is, and it deals with the areas of faith. In 1 John, the 3rd chapter, there's a scripture, and I want you to see this, because you're going to have to get this straightened out of how. And really, we could call this a hindrance to your faith, or to the faith you're praying the prayer of faith. This would be, it could be either understanding it will either help you receive or be a, you'll find there's a hindrance that keeps you from receiving what you ask for. And sometimes what our hindrances are not things because of our sin, it's because of our lack of knowledge. You get the wrong thing inside of you. And in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verse 21, listen what it says. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, then we have confidence toward God. Now, it's talking about condemnation in your spirit. Now, understand this. This is where faith operates, is in your heart, is in the inner man. In other words, you don't want to have condemnation get on the inside. I found this. I got born again, but because of ways that I believed, I had condemnation in me. Work, I let it in me because of things, the ways that I was taught, and it limited how far I could go to believe God. It limited me. God took, just like back in 2014 when the Lord started speaking to me in the areas of finances, He showed me where I had limitations on inside of me, the way that I believed. In other words, there was places of condemnation. I could not walk. I didn't think I was allowed to walk past a certain point. Now, He says, beloved, if our heart doesn't condemn us, what, we have confidence toward God. And because of that, when you have confidence toward God, it says this, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. See, condemnation will stop you from getting your prayer answered. If you don't think you can go beyond a point, see, that's why if a person guts it into their heart that sometimes God says yes and sometimes God said no, they'll have a condemnation place in their heart about asking God to begin with. They'll have a place in their heart where they don't feel it's right. Maybe I shouldn't be asking. Maybe I shouldn't be going to this place. Maybe I shouldn't be asking God for this. What if He don't want to do that for me? See, there'll be that. You'll have a condemnation, like you're not supposed to come to His presence and ask. If you have that, you can't go any further. That's why you got to build yourself in your own spirit. Many people are asking for what they don't really know or believe that they can have. And it's limits that they can't go any further. That won't come to pass because their heart isn't in it. The heart's not in it. See, we got to get the heart in it. And the heart has to have that freedom that God wants me to have this thing. Now I'm in the position when I ask, I can have it. I'll get it. But see, you can't have condemnation. See, there's people that get over in the areas and living in sin. And they'll come and want to pray the prayer of faith. And all the time, they know they've been living wrong. They'll have condemnation in their heart. And they'll walk over here and they just think they're going to pray and bring it to pass. They can't bring it to pass. They have condemnation in their heart. They know on the inside they ain't doing what's right. And they know they're asking God and things ain't right. They know it ain't right on the inside. They know things ain't good. And yet they'll come along and ask, and they think, well, I'm believing. Oh, you can have condemnation in your heart and believe for sure that the word's true, but that condemnation will keep it from coming to pass, even though you believe it's true. You just don't have confidence in God. See, this is where the confidence, this is where the boldness comes in. This is where the thing is. If you don't have that, you won't have anybody out here living in sin will be confident about approaching God. They'll never have confidence. If Jesus appeared today, they ain't going to run to him and say, "Wahoo, Jesus, you're here." They're going to be, "Oh my God, maybe he showed up to get me." That's what condemnation will do. Condemnation will bring fear to you concerning God, and it's not a good fear. It's not a reverential fear to make you afraid of him. Fear is an ugly thing. We taught on fear. Oh, and it eats a lot of people. It eats a lot of Christians, but they don't recognize it for what it is. You got to recognize it. But we know here that if we have confidence, we don't have any condemnation, then we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him. Whatever we ask, whatever. He didn't say, oh, but you can't ask this, you can't ask that. No, religion will put all that in there for you. You can just go buy a religious book and they'll tell you all the things you can't have. They'll tell you all. None of it's in Scripture. Jesus didn't say here. A person that isn't in condemnation toward God isn't asking for stupid stuff. They're asking for the things the Word says. But people always get over into the weird. They say, don't worry about that. If you're in the weird, you're going to not have confidence toward God. If you're weird, if you're weird spiritually, you're not going to have confidence toward God. So whatever you ask. So God wants us to ask. I mean, here he is. He's telling us whatever. Gee, what does that word mean? Whatever. My words. Whatever. Sounds like that word anything we looked at a couple weeks ago. It said whatever stuff. You get it. So understand that. We keep our hearts clear toward God, where we can walk in the presence of God. We don't have any kind of fear. We don't have any kind of anxieties or worries about things. We're not worried that God's going to try to get us or do something to us or something. We need to have this boldness. And I want you to learn to build the craving inside of you. I don't know what the things you want or need. All of us are different. There's things that your desires of certain things are different than mine. See, we're not trying to make a cookie cutter Christian. And you need to understand, I've talked about this, I've told you guys before. You know, if you want to drive a Ferrari, drive one. My God, have at it. I don't care. God don't care either. I mean, Ferraris aren't too expensive for God. You know. Now, to me, I wouldn't like these people. They buy them, I guess, just to collect them. They don't run around drive them. If I owned one, I'd be driving it every day. I'd drive the thing. You know, they say, oh my God, what if it gets wrecked? What good is it if I can't play with it? God, let's go play with it. If you can't play with the thing, who cares? I don't want it. Now, some people are like that. They just want to have one and go treasure it and go look at it, hide it in a garage somewhere and go look at it every once in a while. And then after a while, the doctor comes, gives them another shot, and they go back and look at it again. I don't need that. No, you have that stuff to play with. You can't play with it. I grew up in a household. Anything that was good, you weren't allowed to have. You weren't allowed to do. You always use the old stuff. I mean, them days are over. Let's get the good stuff out and use it. Hallelujah. Let's get the good stuff. Aren't you tired? You know, there's too much. When Kenneth Hagin said that the Christians, you know, God has given them a checking account, an unlimited checking account, and he said they're always writing little checks. Boy, we've done that anyway. We've always been afraid that we weren't going to have enough. We have to try to protect. Then going over this place we call faith, and it never was faith. It was a place of condemnation. We always, well, I wonder if I'm asking too much. I wonder if I'm going too far. You know, you were just talking about, you know, with Mike and them about their home. Well, you know what? That condemnation wanted to come to them. You know, we can live with less. But you know what? They had a craving in their heart. And God said, I can't be in it with you. Why? Because that other place was not a place that was in their heart. He can't fulfill that. He fulfills the desires of your heart. He doesn't fulfill desire. Desires of your heart are what's on the inside. That's what God can bring to pass. What's on the inside? He's not working. You'll have to do something on the outside about that, what's just in your mind. But what's in your heart, acted in faith, God can bring it to pass for you. God can bring it to pass. Those are the things, like he told them. You can't go that other direction. That's not what in your heart to bring. I can't bring that to pass because that's not what's in your heart. Because God brings to pass what's inside of you. He can bring that to pass, but he can't bring things to pass just because you want it. But you get it in your heart. And I'll tell you, it's like I said, you get that craving, oh my. You'll bring that thing to pass. You know, and it's nothing. The stronger that cravings is, the quicker it come to pass. That's why many people, it takes so long for them to get healed. They don't have a craving enough to be well. People are satisfied. They can take their medications and stuff, makes them feel pretty good. And it's all right. They can do some things and we can get by. But if I get well, I've had people that come along and they would go on prayer lines. I had a lady years ago in a church I was in. And this lady come up for prayer, and I was praying for people. And she came up, and she had multiple sclerosis. And she had got the point, you know, that she was, you know, walking. She had a cane, and, you know, and she had walked some. You know, she walked, still walked pretty good. She had multiple sclerosis. And she come up for healing, and she said this to me. She said, I want to be well, but I don't want to be well enough that I have to go back to work. I want to stay on things. I said, I just looked her right in the eye. See, I ain't like these little sweet guys that lie to her and say, we'll pray. I wouldn't pray for nothing. I looked her in the eye and said, that is totally unscriptural. I said, you want to be well so you can. I said, yeah, in other words, you won't be lazy. You don't want to, you just want to sit right. You like this sitting around. I said, mess with this disease and you'll be sitting on your butt forever. And last I've heard, she's on her butt forever. See, some people don't want to. The whole thing of what people have or what people want, or what people desire. See, when you have something come against you, you got to be, you know, you got to let the lion loose. You got to get a craving on inside of you that turns into the lion of the tribe of Judah, and you want to eat anything that stands in your way of getting it. You will not let anything stand in your way to have it. I'm going to have this thing, and this is God's gift to me, and I'm taking it. I'm going to have it. And get like that. That's how this thing works. And it'll bring things done. The Lord told me the reason that I had so many manifestations, a quick manifestation on things, He said, because my boldness to make actions on things, He said, you'll do bold things. And I learned to do that. Well, He's a guy who told me, gave me a spirit of boldness. I asked for it. He wanted it. Paul said about praying for boldness. I'll tell you what, I pray a spirit of boldness. Now you're going to pray for it. You better believe you receive it. So don't keep sitting around and act like you ain't got it after you said you believe you receive it and keep acting a wimp. Well, I don't know. I got it. I don't feel like I got it. I don't feel. Say, dear Lord, I don't feel like I want to be near you. But here I am. You know, this thing, we need to talk plain about this stuff because too many people hurt and too many people have been deceived. Too many people have lived. We've had all this junk put on us, talk to us, that has limited how far you and I can go. And God's calling us out. If you read that Randall Greer thing in there, I'm telling you, we're about at the top of the mountain. What good does it do to anoint a people who don't know how to walk with faith? What good would it do to anoint people and they aren't bold? What good would it do? Man, I'm going to tell you what, we're going to be like lions, hallelujah. That's what we're going to be. Glory to God, that's what, I mean, these are the days, I'll tell you, the wimpy sheep thing's over. Why? Because the sheep are getting eaten out here. The wolves are eating them. And I'll tell you what, there's no guards anymore. There's no lions around, you know, that are owned by the shepherd. We need lions around that eat wolves. But I'll tell you what, there's too many wolves have gotten in among the sheep. Too many. And they have been accepted in. People who slowly minimize the word of God, who slowly come in, and they slowly weaken other people's faith. Oh yeah, I know the pastor said, but he's just not, he don't understand our problem. He don't live. He don't pull his pants up like we do. He don't, you know, he got an anointing. And that's why God uses, yeah, the anointing I got it long before I became a pastor. This spirit of boldness I had before ever pastored. You can have one or not have one. That's up to you. You can do this thing. But see, people come along and they'll just, and they get in there. And you know what? People don't realize they're a wolf in there slowly eating at the sheep. Slowly keeping people. And you know what? Nobody calls them out anymore. I'll tell you what. I'll call them out. You get people running around trying to minimize people's faith, I'll eat you lunch. You don't do that to people. Anything you and I want to do is inspire people to believe. We want to inspire somebody to believe something. Hallelujah. We want to encourage people to believe. Because somebody have been beaten down. They don't know if they can believe or not anymore. We need to inspire people to believe. I tell you, there's too many, really, in many ways, there's too many, you know, pastors that are almost like wolves. They have weakened the sheep. They have beaten the sheep down by their religious talk and their religious things that keeps people from being able to take a hold of things with God. And people sit in those churches, and they're so weak, they think they like it anymore. It's like, nobody expects anything out of me. I can just sort of sit, you know, here, and I can sit. And he says, I'm a nice guy when I ain't doing anything nice, and I ain't even really following God, but we all feel like we're following God because he's saying, well, we're good, you know. We're just holding on until Jesus comes back, and we're just, you know, again, but this is what we're doing and down here. And everybody, it really does nothing but weaken the sheep and weaken the sheep. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't die so you could be eaten. He died so you can live. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He died to make you strong. Hallelujah. He died to make you bold. He wants you to be what he is. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He didn't back down from the devil, did he? Glory to God, neither you. You ain't backing down from the devil. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to eat his lunch. He ain't taking our lunch money no more. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's not keeping things from us. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. I preach me happy. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Father, I thank you for these people. Lord God, they'll pull things out of me. Lord, because they do hunger. There's a craving. There's a pulling going on. Hallelujah. Lord God, they understand the time. They know the time and they know the desire. Lord God, there's things within them. Lord God, where I prayed, Lord God, before that things would start coming up in them again. Lord, things of the past. Lord God, and Lord, it don't matter where we walked in the past. Lord, sometimes it gets in our mind that we can't go back to a certain point and walk in a certain thing. Father, I want to thank you. There's anointings of the past that we're going to walk in again. Hallelujah. In fullness. Lord God, we ain't got too old to fulfill things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not for a younger generation. The younger generation ain't going to fulfill it. They're not going. They need leaders. Hallelujah. And Father, we're going to be leaders. Yes. We're going to lead to something. Hallelujah. Lord God, I ain't going to do much well on that following a lot of this stuff that's going on out here. I ain't following it. Hallelujah. Lord God, we know the truth. And I thank you, Father, you're raising up leaders in here. Lord God, walking in a direction, Lord, that won't be turned back. They won't turn to the right or the left. Lord God, they see the truth and the truth's made them free. They will not go back to bondage again. They're walking ahead, Lord God, full of faith in the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus, Lord God. I thank you, Father, for a spirit of boldness in the name of Jesus. Come on them in Jesus' name. Lord God, they're just as bold as a lion. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God. Lord God, there's a fierceness of faith rising up. Lord God, a relenting faith. Lord God, well, they will not take no. Father God, when they see the promise, they will have nothing but. Hallelujah. That's all they will go for what's true and what's right. Hallelujah. And Father God, I thank you that, Lord God, if under the law they could be blessed going in and coming out, if they were the heads and not the tail, they were above and not beneath, what will we be, the church? Hallelujah. What will we be? Far beyond, Lord God. Hallelujah. That's where we're walking in this day and time. That's where we're living. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God, when we leave this earth, when our Master returns, we're leaving with a shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With the trump of God, there's going to be a shout. Lord God, that shout is going to be us. Hallelujah. Lord God, we fulfilled our purpose. We fulfilled the plan of God and we're ready to go. Hallelujah. And Father God, we're going to step over into that place of victory that you had for us for eternity, Lord God. Hallelujah. To forever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Dashti di barate vrote shote mi mananda kochinska de aboreka baresti shipa faha gebradino bresko manyano nenefete ebragdishla yata ora freto e salabagayante stile geyata. Yes, I allowed you to step into a time and live in a place. I have put you here in this day and time to walk, hallelujah, walk in a plan that I have. I've set it forth. You haven't set it forth. I've set it forth, says the Lord. And this is the place of victory that I've laid out before you, and I've given you invitation to come and walk in it. Come and live in it. Hallelujah. For I've made this place for you to walk. Yes, and you'll see with your eyes the things that you have dreamed about. Oh yes, and you thought, my, could that ever come to pass? Well, you will live in this day and you will see those things come to pass. Yes, and you will marvel. Even if your faith, you will marvel and look and say, my, could it be so glorious? Could God move so glorious? Could it be done in such a fashion? Yes, it can be done in such a fashion, and you'll see it and you'll know it. And the things that people said couldn't come to place, those people they said that wouldn't come in, those ones that wouldn't listen, yes, I the Lord say, they know not. Their voices speak as the voices of men, for I can draw them and bring them in, for I can turn things around that have seemed they would never turn. Yes, I will make men look like fools, and I will show the church in its glory in these last days. Yes, the glorious church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.